Wow, Obi, thank you very much. Goodness. That was a lovely introduction. Just when you were leading and you were talking about God being able to do anything, my prayer over and over us was, Jesus, amaze us. Jesus, amaze us. Amaze us this morning, what you want to do in us. And I hope that will continue as we go on. We're in our series on John, and we're at week 6, and we're looking at John 11 and the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And hopefully you read it in our Bible readings this week. And I am really excited to be talking about this story. It's a really significant story, and it is so rich that I could actually keep you all here till tea time. The more I've dug into it, the more study I've done, the more I've prayed over it. It's incredible. All the little nuances in it. It's extraordinary, but I promise to not keep you here till tea time. And I've looked at the clock, so you're all right. But as I prepared and I prayed, I felt like Holy Spirit took me to 3 distinct things. So all the juicy things that I really wanted to say, I've obediently put down. And I'm going to bring the 3 things that I really felt that Holy Spirit wants to talk into today. So I promise to stay on track if you promise to keep your heart and your spirit open to Holy Spirit this morning and what he might want to say to you. So I absolutely love this graphic for this series because it is just love and it's life. Look at the life bursting out of that Bible, which is the Word of God, who is Jesus. And today we are talking about resurrection life that comes through Jesus. So we're going to read the passage in a moment, but just by way of introduction, let me just set some of the historical scene for you. So this story, you won't find it in any of the other Gospels. In Matthew, Mark and Luke, it's not there. John has very purposefully included this story in his account of Jesus's life to build his own distinct narrative about Jesus. This was written decades after the other accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John was by now an old man. He was possibly 85. He was about 15 when he lived with Jesus. And John crafts this account really carefully. He's really particular about what he includes. And we see in the book this progression of 7 signs or 7 miracles that build up to the climax of Jesus's ministry here in John 11, right in the middle of the book. Jesus has turned water into wine. He's healed a royal official's son. He's healed the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. He's fed the 5,000. He's walked on water. He's healed the man born blind. And now he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. All those other stories leading up to this, John has presented Jesus as the divine Son of God who has all power and authority over nature and the physical realm. But now he's going to show that Jesus is the one who holds power over physical and spiritual death. But he also wants to make sure that we see Jesus embodying the deep, deep love of God for us, which John knew. He experienced it. He lived in it. He knew himself to be the disciple who Jesus loved. And so in this story, we see the incredible emotion of Jesus. So it's a really special story, and Ian is going to come read it. It's quite long, but I encourage you to immerse yourself in it. Let the story go through and just be in it.
In the village of Bethany, there was a man named Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who would anoint Jesus' feet with costly perfume and dry his feet with her long hair. One day, Lazarus became very sick to the point of death. So his sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, our brother Lazarus, the one you love, is very sick. Please come." When he heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death for Lazarus, but will bring glory and praise to God. This will reveal the greatness of the Son of God by what takes place." Now, even though Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he remained where he was for two more days. Finally, on the third day, he said to his disciples, "Come, it's time to go to Bethany." "But teacher," they said to him, "do you really want to go back there? Just a short time ago, the people of Judea were going to stone you." Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight in every day? You can go through a day without the fear of stumbling while you walk in the one who gives light to the world. But you will stumble when the light is not in you, for you'll be walking in the dark." Then Jesus added, "Lazarus, our friend, has fallen asleep. It's time I go and waken him." When they heard this, the disciples replied, "Lord, if he has just fallen asleep, then he'll get better." Jesus was talking about Lazarus' death, but the disciples presumed he was talking about natural sleep. Then Jesus made it plain to them, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, because now you have another opportunity to see who I am, so that you will learn to trust in me. Come, let's go and see him." So Thomas, nicknamed the twin, remarked to the other disciples, "Let's go so that we can die with him." Now, when they arrived at Bethany, which was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Many friends of Martha and Mary had come from the region to console them over the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "My Lord, if only you'd come soon, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise and live." She replied, "Yes, I know he will rise with everyone else on Resurrection Day." "Martha," Jesus says, "you don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection and I am the life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he lives, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Then Martha replied, "Yes, Lord, I do. I've always believed that you're the anointed one, the Son of God, who's come into the world for us." Then she left and hurried off for her sister Mary and called her aside from the mourners and whispered to her, "The Master is here and he's asking for you." So when Mary heard this, she quickly went off to find him, for Jesus was lingering outside the village at the same spot when Martha met him. Now, when Mary's friends were comforting her, notice how quickly she ran out of the house. They followed her, assuming she was going to the tomb of her brother to mourn. When Mary finally found Jesus outside the village, she fell at his feet in tears and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus looked at Mary and saw her weeping at his feet and all her friends who were with her grieving, he shuddered with emotion and was deeply moved with tenderness and compassion. He said to them, "Where did you bury him?" "Lord, come with us and we'll show you." Then tears streamed down Jesus' face. Seeing Jesus weep caused many of the mourners to say, "Look how much he loved Lazarus." The others say, "Isn't this the one who opened blind eyes? Why didn't he do something to keep Lazarus from dying?" Then Jesus, with intense emotions, came to the tomb, a cave with a stone placed over its entrance. Jesus told them, "Roll away the stone." Then Jesus said, "But Lord," then Martha said, "But Lord, it's been 4 days since he died. By now his body's already decomposing." Jesus looked at her and said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe in me, you will see God unveil his power?" So they rolled away the heavy stone. Jesus gazed into heaven and said, "Father, thank you that you've heard my prayer. For you listen to every word I speak. Now so that these who stand here with me will believe that you have sent me to earth as your messenger, I will use the power you have given me. Then with a loud voice, Jesus shouted with authority, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Then in front of everybody, Jesus, who had died 4 years earlier, slowly hobbled out. He'd still grave clothes tightly wrapped around his hands and feet and covering his face. Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him loose.
Ian, thank you very much. What an extraordinary story. I think that was a Passion translation, wasn't it? Yeah, great. So as you read that story and as you heard it, different things will have jumped out at you. But there are three things that I focused on. The first one is delay. It's extraordinary, isn't it, that Jesus delayed. It says he stayed 2 days longer, even though he knew these people who he loved and Lazarus was sick. He could have healed from a distance. He'd done that before. He'd said the word and somebody had been healed. He could have gone sooner, but he did none of those things. And it's really interesting to wonder why and what that means for us. Obi talked a little bit about it, actually, when you were leading the service, about us waiting for God to move. And Jesus gives us two reasons himself. That actually he delayed not out of indifference, but out of purpose. We read in verse 4, when he heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death for Lazarus, but will bring glory and praise to God. This will reveal the greatness of the Son of God by what takes place. Actually, he didn't just heal a dead person, it was raising somebody who had been dead for 4 days. Never ever been done anything like that in their sight. And it was a huge miracle. So the delay was actually necessary to show the greatness and the glory of God. And in verse 14, we read Jesus saying, he made it plain to them, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't here, because now you have another opportunity to see who I am. So you will learn to trust me. It's really interesting, isn't it? To see who I am, not just what I do, but who I am. In this situation, you're going to see me, you're going to see my nature, and that will help you to learn to trust me. Two really good reasons why Jesus delayed. We have opportunities in our lives to see Jesus at work and to trust him. I read this little phrase somebody somewhere wrote, that Christian maturity is trusting Jesus completely. But we learn to get there by learning to get to know him, who he is. If you read Tom Wright, his John for Everybody Bible commentary, he suggests that actually, what was Jesus doing while he was delaying? Possibly he was praying. He was seeking God. He was discerning the way ahead. He was preparing the disciples in prayer, because this was going to lead to his crucifixion and this was going to be a critical time for them. He was praying for Mary, for Martha, for the mourners, preparing himself. The delay was not wasted. It was not wasted time. And that's another thing for us to take out of this delay. If it feels like there's delay, it's not wasted time in God's kingdom. But I wonder how hard it was for Jesus to stay, knowing how that would look to his friends, to Mary and Martha, to Lazarus, that they might feel that he didn't care, that he had abandoned them. And it's easy to feel that sometimes, isn't it? We'll come on to that. But just a question for you to take away and ponder. If there is an area of your life where you feel like God is delaying, are you able to trust who Jesus is and trust that God's glory is still to be revealed? The story isn't over in your life yet, just because there's delay, or it seems like there's delay. The second thing that jumped out at me was despair. When Jesus finally arrives, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha runs to Jesus and she says what I think are heartbreaking words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Those words actually literally make me want to sob. Her heartbreak. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary repeats the same thing to him, and so do the mourners at the grave. I wonder if you've ever felt that. God, if you had been here, have you ever felt let down by God? Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever felt that your prayers were going nowhere? You've asked him to come and it doesn't seem like he is doing it. I have. I definitely have. Particularly in moments of deep grief when I've lost people who have been really dear to me. If you'd been here, Lord, this would have turned out differently. But you know what the truth is? They had to wait for Jesus to come physically to be with them. But we don't, because Jesus lives in us by his Holy Spirit. He is always with us. We don't say, Lord, if you had been here. He is always here with us, within us, around us, caring for us. It's the enemy's lie that says you've been let down, you've been left, you've been abandoned. God is working out something different in your life than what you have in your mind with your prayers. He's working out a greater purpose, as we saw him do in that story with Lazarus, where he could so easily have healed him in an instant from afar, but he was working out something far, far greater. Even in her grief, we hear Martha say, I know even now God will do what you ask. Yeah, I know who you are. She's kind of putting that brave faith face on. Do you ever do that? That kind of, well, yes, I know, in theory, yep, I know these things about you, God, but it doesn't penetrate into our hearts. Who he is isn't quite in there sufficiently. That move from believing in what he does to believing in who he is for us. And into that deep despair, that loss of hope, Jesus speaks, I am the resurrection and the life. One who believes in me will live, even though they die. I am the resurrection and the life. That is who he is. He isn't just promising resurrection from the dead and new life in the future, in eternity. We all have heard about that and we're like, yep, that's part of our Christian belief. He is the resurrection and the life right now in your life today. Wherever Jesus is, new life comes, even in places that look very dead to us. He lives in you. He is with you through his presence in the Holy Spirit. So his life is here and is now. He has come to give us life in all its fullness. Julie spoke about that last week in our CAP Sunday. A question for you to take away. Are there places where you need Jesus to bring life? Even things that to you feel long dead in your heart. And the third thing that struck me was the deep emotion of Jesus. When Jesus looked at Mary and saw her weeping at his feet and all her friends who were with her grieving, he shuddered with emotion and was deeply moved with tenderness and compassion. Literally, his heart melted with compassion. Again, I find this extraordinary, this verse. Jesus was fully human as well as being fully God. And we see him being willing to face his feelings, his grief and his loss, and to feel them. What an invitation and example that is for us, that we don't have to shove our feelings down, put on a brave face, keep calm and carry on. We are able and allowed to express our emotion. It's the healthy way to be. We see Jesus modeling that for us. And as we do that, it brings us life. When we suppress it and put it away and ignore it, it doesn't bring us life in all its fullness. But secondly, it's beautiful for us because Jesus doesn't rush past our pain. He sits with us in our grief, in our sorrow. He doesn't give us platitudes. He doesn't tell us to stop making a fuss, have more faith, press on, get on with life. He sits with our grief. He enters into it. And then he transforms it with his presence and his power. And it's a beautiful and extraordinary thing about our Jesus, that that is what he does, how he loves us, how he cares for us and sits with us. So a question for you to take away. If you have places of pain, sorrow, grief, or loss currently in your life or historically in your life, will you allow Jesus in to weep with you, to sit with you, to love you, and then to take you forward into new life? This miracle wasn't just about Lazarus. The story is actually a precursor to Jesus' own death, who died and raised from the dead 3 days later. And it is the pattern of our life as well. Where there's death, Jesus brings resurrection life over and over again through our earthly lives, and then eternally. He does the same thing for us when physically we die and we go to be with him eternally forever in resurrection life. I wonder what dead places Jesus might be calling you out of today. I felt like there were three specific things that we could respond to this morning. They won't apply to all of us. And it could well be that Holy Spirit's been talking to you about something else, individually for you. And that is fantastic if that's the case. But I really felt that Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to do something this morning for people. He wants to change some lives. And I've got three things here that I'd like to just share with you. So I wonder if you resonated with the disappointment. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, there we are. Three things. Do you resonate with the disappointment? If you had been here. When we hold disappointment, it actually, it shuts us off from God's presence fully. Just, if you notice, Mary is not the one who goes to find Jesus, and yet she's the one who's sat at Jesus' feet. She's the one who's adored Jesus. She's shut herself away. She lets Martha go. She's got that disappointment, and she's just held herself back a little bit. Is there disappointment with God? Is there? He wants to come to you in that and release you from it. Talk to you about it, sit with you in it so that you can fully experience his presence. Today it would be great. I'm having everything this morning. Today it would be great to be able to pray with you, that you could open yourself up to his deep love and understanding and allow him into those painful places. Secondly, I wonder if there's fear here of death. Jesus shouts, I am the resurrection and the life. None of us really wants to think too much about dying, do we? Well, we're all going to, but I just felt for some people there is a fear of it. And Jesus wants to meet you in that and set you free from that fear of death, because we don't need to fear death. Do you know, when my sister was dying, she was just 2 days before she died, she sent a text message saying, "God is with me." I want to be able to say that and know and live in that. God is with me. There is nothing to fear. And the third one was, I just believe Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom today. He wants to shout, come out of the dead places that you're in. What do you feel trapped in? Is there something that you're in or doing that isn't bringing you life? If it's not bringing you life, it's a dead place. And Jesus this morning says, come out. And we would love to stand with you and pray with you. Roll the stone away for you to come out this morning. So I just love us to sit still and quietly for a moment or two and allow Holy Spirit just to talk to us. And then I'll pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you that you speak life to every dead place in our lives. Help us to get to know you, to trust you, to receive your love. We believe that you can bring life to us. Jesus, would you amaze us? Would you amaze us, Jesus? And I just pray that you'd help each and every one of us out of the dead places. Help us walk in resurrection life, abundant life, now and in eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.